Now, about a million years ago, in the month of April 2021, it seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? The country woke up to dramatic social media footage of an attempted heist on an armed vehicle that was transporting high-value goods. And the dashboard camera filmed the whole thing as the vehicle came under fire. More than 30 rounds were fired at them. 13 of those rounds did, in fact, hit the car. And as the bullets flew, the man behind the wheel remained completely focused, as cool as ice. Leo Prinsloo calmly talked his colleague who was with him in the vehicle through their next steps. He took evasive action. He prepared to engage the robbers without even appearing to break a sweat through the whole thing. And by the time that footage went viral, Leo was being dubbed South Africa's own answer to Chuck Norris. Not many of us, I think, would have been able to keep our cool like that in the face of imminent danger. Or would we? Maybe if we had put in the proper preparation, we'd all be able to respond like Leo did that day. Leo himself thinks that at the very least, we could all be better prepared on how to respond to a criminal threat, and better still, how to avoid facing one in the first place. He believes it so strongly, he's written a book about it, and I'm absolutely delighted to have him with us for the remainder of the show today to talk about it, to share a couple of the tips, and maybe to answer any questions you might have about how to protect yourselves and your loved ones and your homes. The book is called Leo's Guide to Not Becoming a Statistic, How to Prevent Crime and What to Do in a Situation. Leo, it's great to have you on the show this afternoon. Thanks for a really practical, helpful book, and welcome to Cape Talk.
Good afternoon, Papa. It's great to be here, and hope you, I can contribute.
I'm really looking forward to hearing what you have to share with us, Leo. Before we talk about the book and get stuck into any listener interaction, can we just take a couple of moments to reflect on your story and your background? Because being that cool under fire wasn't just a random lucky reaction. It was the result of years of specialist training. You actually joined the police force straight out of school, didn't you?
Yeah, correct. I joined the police force in 87 and was there for 17 years. The last 12 years of my police career was in the Special Task Force. And that's pretty much where, you know, everything just basically started.
Okay. You went on after leaving the service to run a firearms training company to offer advanced security training, advanced driver security training. You were running your own business, Leo. What came to see you behind the wheel that day? Because I think most people would expect that the manager isn't the guy driving the vehicle. How did you come to be there that day?
Yeah, that's not my day-to-day job, though. I'm predominantly a firearm training company and all the other training instructions and things like that. So on that particular day, I was actually just helping a friend out who had some extra work, and he was short-handed. So we had an agreement: if I don't have work training-wise, then I will help him out when he has got additional manpower shortages. So, yeah, that's what how I ended up where I was.
And he ended up with the right person in the right car at the right time. I mean, the guy with you, alongside you, Leo, I mean, shame, at the time the footage came out, he initially took quite a bit of flack on social media for people saying, why wasn't he responding the same way? He'd only been on that job for a matter of days, had he?
Yeah, look, you know, the criticism will always be there. There will always be the keyboard warriors that knows best and know better. Until they are in a situation like that, then I would like to see how they handle it. But yeah, so, you know, talk is cheap, but money buys the whiskey. Lloyd has got a security background, but not that type of security. So it was his fourth day in the company, third day on the job with me. So, yeah, he was a bit of a back. I was defeated, do up.
Yeah, baptism of fire.
Yes,
absolutely.
Exactly that.
Well,
so,
yeah. Okay, so I mean, thank goodness for him and for the owner of the truck and the cargo that you were where you were on that day, Leo, to lead him through that process as coolly as you did. It was extraordinary to watch. And I just want to share with you a message that's just popped onto our WhatsApp screen to tell you about the impact that clip has had on at least one of our listeners. This guy is my hero, says the message. I saw a clip of his heist and for some reason I watched it. Not my usual thing at all. I then read about him and how he had prepared and rehearsed mentally in his head beforehand. Cut to a few weeks later, I was going into Khayelitsha to deliver books to a kids with a charity, and I knew it was a little risky, but we were driving in convoy. I didn't tell my husband, but that morning I got dressed and I thought, yep, running shoes, no scarf to be strangled with, no watch or visible jewellery. I played the what if in my head, and sure enough, after visiting three schools, our convoy left early. We were very relaxed by then. And then spotted five guys in the shadows coming for them. And to cut a long story short, this person recognized what was coming. Traffic was piling up around them in the rain. One of the people pulled a gun on them. The other tried to get into the car behind them. But preparation is everything. It was like a movie. We got out and drove out into the oncoming traffic without any harm done. Thank you, Leon. We made it with no trauma and went out for lunch to celebrate life, is the comment. Yo, that's a story and a half, Leo, but it speaks to exactly what this book is all about, that you really believe the mental preparation, the mindset is such a huge part of dealing with crime if you're ever in the position where you have to deal with crime. Equally, though, you believe we can all do a lot to make sure that never happens to us in the first place. Before we delve into any kind of detail, do you want to chat a little bit about that sort of general observation of how much your mental attitude and mental awareness counts?
Yeah, you know, your brain is your most powerful weapon, tool to your disposal. The, you know, other weapon systems, your car, firearms, knife, whatever you've got, is just a tool. So your mind will allow you to do things if it's prepared and if it's trained. And you won't be able to do anything if you are not mentally prepared and trained. So, you know, it's a lifestyle that one needs to adopt. It's not something that you can just do from a day to one day here and the next day not. It needs to be a lifestyle, like, you know, like physical training. Mm-hmm. You're not going to run a marathon if you haven't trained for it. So it's the same concept. You have to train the muscle.
Okay. We live in a country, Leo, where crime is everywhere around us. But I think most people, if they do think about it, they think about it as sort of a wish it won't happen to them or a hope that it won't happen to them rather than proactively trying to avoid it. You've shared a whole book full of tips on how to do that, which is proof alone that we can do it. Why do you think more people don't do it and don't like to sort of think proactively about this?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a psychological thing because I think people tend to want to sit back and wait for somebody else to do the magic for them. I think also that you know, people is more generally inclined to want to point fingers at somebody else, you know, point fingers to the police in their inability to protect us. The security company will be there. So they create this false sense of security systems around them, living in an estate where there's access control and things like that. But then they fall into an absolute obliviousness of what's happening around them. And, you know, it's like an ostrich with his head in a hole, thinking that it's not there. Hmm. But I think it's just, you know, people need to, you know, to wake up and smell the roses. Statistics, you know, as little as I believe in statistics, it tells the story. Statistics on crime in South Africa is crazy. You know, you can say I haven't been part of the statistics until it happens to you. And that's the difference. You know, it might not have happened to you. If it happens to the guy next to me, it's okay. Then I don't have to prepare myself. Mm. So, it's a problem. People are, I think, just absent-minded or complacent about this whole thing.
Yeah. Now, speaking of absent-mindedness, the one thing you write about early in the book, Leo, is the importance of mindfulness and awareness. You emphasize that over and over again. We can't always be in a state of extreme alert. Our minds and bodies wouldn't allow that. But what would you like to say to our listeners about the importance of paying more attention about where we are and who's around us?
Yeah, no, it's impossible to stay in a high state of alert the whole time. You know, from a mental perspective, you're going to drain yourself, and then you're putting yourself more at risk. So again, you know, you need to understand the risks where you are, where you work, where you drive, where you lead your life, pretty much on a daily basis, and then you need to realize where you can allow you to relax a little bit, and where you need to be sharp at the end, at another location or so. So it's about awareness and planning. Where do we go? How long are we going to do the routes? And all of those things comes into play. And then, you know, just adopting and adapting to the changing environments that we are facing.
Now, after the 2:30 news headlines, we're going to come back to Leo and dive a little bit into the detail of the book. It is broken up into chapters that deal with different situations. So keeping safe at home, keeping safe in your vehicle, while at leisure, on your business premises, and then talking a bit about self-defense, about firearms, about medical crises, and about keeping your children safe. If you have questions around any of those themes, you are welcome to call us now or send a voice note to 072-567-1567.
Join the conversation.
You're with Cape Talk.
We continue the conversation with Leo Prinsloo, the man who rose to fame, or on social media anyway, when that viral footage circulated in April showing him dealing with the onslaught of an attempted heist on the Land Cruiser, the armored vehicle he was busy driving that day. Bullets flying everywhere. He didn't flinch. He kept his cool. He knew what to do, and he responded instantly and professionally throughout. So many people admiring his calm under fire that day. And Leo has gone on to publish a book called Leo's Guide to Not Becoming a Statistic, How to Prevent Crime and What to Do in a Situation. Now, for the remainder of the show, we're going to dive into some of the detail of that book. It's got very detailed chapters on protecting yourself in different parts of your life, be it at home, at work, when in transit in your car, and others. And Leo, let's start with security around the home, because that's the place where most of us feel most relaxed, where our guard is let down to some extent. But at the same time, even there, we're not immune to crime, and the thought of something like a home invasion is one of the most terrifying things many people can imagine. What are some of the basic suggestions you would share on how to make our homes less appealing as targets for criminals?
Well, you know, when we talk about crime prevention, is you know, if you want to prevent a crime against you, you need to look less appealing, like you said, than your neighbour, maybe. In essence, you know, if you talk about, you know, the neighbourhood watches and places like that, it's just pushing crime away from your neighbourhood to the next neighbourhood, and if they do the same, you can push it out of an entire neighbourhood. Mm. But your house needs to be your safe havens. Unfortunately, we live in castles and we are strapped in and locked down behind our fences and gates like prisoners, where it shouldn't be like that. But, you know, it is what it is. And we live in a country where, you know, you have to make those type of decisions. But yeah, in your house, you know, there's so much options that you've got to safeguard your house. The first one, you know, like I said, you know, it's a layer principle. There needs to be layers of security. If you're going to rely on one gate, one dog, one alarm system, it's not going to be enough. So, and all those protection measures is just to sort of buy yourself time to get to another safety system, you know, or buy, phone the security company or the police, or get to a, you know, a weapon or something like that. So it's just a time-saving device, an alarm or the beams or the barbed wire and, you know, the chicken and geese and the dogs and things like that.
Speaking of dogs, sorry to interrupt, one of our listeners, Trevor, just messaging to say how much of a deterrent are dogs?
No, still, it's a it's a massive deterrent. You know, a small little dog might not be, you know, this killer dog that's going to annihilate the entire attacking group. But it's, you know, all you need is an early warning so that you can be awake and then put other measures into place. Mm. Bigger dogs still has got a huge potential. The problem is they do get poisoned, so, you know, you need to take measures against that. At night especially, you need to let this dog sleep inside the house. So, but, you know, it's just one of those things. If a criminal is motivated to get to you, he will get to you. But you need to sort of try and stall him to get yourself into a better position where you can, you know, face him on equal terms, basically.
Really all about buying time to get to the stronger position. I hear you. Marianne asking, are any tips for load shedding? Her comment on our WhatsApp is that she always feels very vulnerable as a woman living alone when the power goes out. She says, I know that there is a battery backup on my alarm system, but it only lasts so long.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, the entire country holds its breath when the light goes off. Yeah. And, you know, like the electric motors on the gates and the batteries on the alarm systems, eventually it will run off. It is a problem which we cannot, you know, totally rely on, you know, on an electronic device. There is other devices available in, you know, DIY almost devices that you can implement where it's a beam system that you can just place on certain strategic places. It works on batteries, but you can, you know, at least you can replace batteries. You know, closing the doors and the security gates and things like that is primary, especially when you're at home. Because, like you said earlier, people, when they get at home, they want to, you know, kick out the shoes and have a cup of tea or a beer or whatever. And then, you know, the sensors are really going down. And, you know, the criminal rely on those type of human behavior to get to an easy target.
Another question coming in on our SMS line. Sue asking, do you think it's better to have a high wall or a fence that people can see through from the outside?
Yeah, look, it can go both ways. I'm not a particular big fan of a high wall because if they can have access to your yard over the high wall, then it's, you know, they can roam around in your yard without being detected from the neighbors or from the street size or site. So high walls, you know, if it's got a high wall, it still mustn't be able, or they mustn't be able to scale them. Then there must be additional things on the wall, like electric fencing or spikes or something like that. But a high wall can hide them very easily, and then they can surprise you. They can really make life miserable for you.
Leo, moving briefly on to your chapter on safety in the car. We heard that message earlier from the person who managed to avoid a hijacking because they'd already thought through what they would do if that sort of thing happened to them, taking us back to your opening remarks about the importance of situational awareness and being prepared. But not everybody likes to think about being potentially a victim when they're behind the wheel. And often, unfortunately, getting into the car, we do tend to sort of zone out. And I've often sort of got pulled into my driveway at home and thought, gosh, I don't really remember the bulk of the drive home. I've been listening to music or listening to the radio and I've sort of zoned out. That's really not a good thing to do, is it?
No. I mean, apart from being attacked and being a victim of crime, you know, it's other road users are your biggest threat. Just getting home safely and not being involved in an accident is a feat in itself. You know, people tend to drive around and relax and, like you said, zone out. And that places you, again, in a vulnerable position, especially when you're approaching your house, because the majority of hijacking still happens in the driveway. So that last 10 minutes or 3-4 kilometers towards your house, you really need to jack up your awareness. Put the radio down, look around, and you know, be very vigilant. If you look in the book, there's a system that we call the color codes of awareness. If you go along those routes, you need to be in color code orange, which is a state of alert. So you need to really know your street, know your neighbors, know which cars should be around, which is there but shouldn't be there, so that you can go to your next point of action, or you know, go into your driveway or going past your driveway just to see what is the result.
It's the actual turning into the driveway that's a point of really high risk, isn't it, Leo? It's one of the tips I really appreciated in your book was about letting the gate open or the garage door open while you're still in the street with sort of clear access to a getaway if you need it.
Yeah, look, if it's possible and if it's safe to do so, I think that's one way of going about it. Just the other day, there was a video making the rounds of a small little Audi vehicle that drove or pulled into the driveway. Typical, the guys just blocked the driveway, and you know, the would-be hijacky reversed, bumped their vehicle out of the way, and he escaped with his vehicle. You know, you need to make choices to what limit you will go. Are you willing to smash into them with your own vehicle? If it's not safe to remain in the street, if you have to pull into the driveway, I will put my car in reverse. If by the earliest sign of somebody blocking my driveway, which I am unhappy about, then you need to make a choice if you're going to ram back into them or not.
Yeah, because you can hopefully have insurance cover the cost of repairing a ding in the car, but you can't get back your life. Yeah,
exactly.
We are talking to Leo Princely, the author of Leo's Guide to Not Becoming a Statistic, How to Prevent Crime and What to Do in a Situation. If you've got questions for him around your personal safety at home, on the road, at work, please do feel free to call in or send a voice note to pose your question. We have got a voice note from somebody that's going to take us, I think, into the subject of weapons. Let's take a listen to that and then we'll talk a bit more about that topic.
Hi Pippa, I own my own business, so I am out on the road pretty much 6 days of the week. I would like to ask Leon if he has any pointers for me that I could possibly do just to protect myself. I always make sure that I'm aware of things happening around me. I also carry pepper spray with me, which has helped me once before, where a guy tried to attack me while standing at a client's gate. So I was quite thankful that I had that pepper spray on me. But if there's possibly any pointers that he could give me as to which other devices I could possibly have with me, like a taser. I just felt like the pepper spray is easy because it's easy to hold and to do the job and to get away as quickly as possible.
Thank you so much for that voice note. And a really important question. Leo, I mean, do you recommend that we should all carry something like at least a pepper spray with us at all times?
Well, no. Anything is better than nothing. But if you do not have anything, then, your ability with your body shouldn't be underestimated. Mm-hmm. You know, unarmed self-defense and unarmed combat is really effective, but then again, you need some training how to utilize what you've got on you, your hands, your knees, your feet, your head. Everything on your body is a weapon, and if you can utilize and if you can unleash your brains, then you can use literally anything to your disposal, literally anything as a weapon. But there is purpose-made self-defense tools out there, like pepper spray, like this taser, proter type of devices. If you want to go bigger than that, and if there's a life-threatening situation, you'd look at firearms or knives and things like that. But anything literally you can have in your hand can be a weapon. It is your mind that will allow you to be effective or not with it. You can have a firearm on your body. If your mind is not going to allow you to use that weapon in a proper way, you're not going to use it in a proper way. So it's not about the tool. It's about your ability to handle the tool and your mindset. Because some people, you know, we always say, talk is cheap, but money buys the whiskey. They've got the weapons, they've got the knives, until the point comes where they have to use it, and then they don't use it because they haven't made the decision what are they going to do with that particular weapon. If you're not going to make up your mind that you're going to shoot or stab or hit, punch or spray the guy with a certain device or tool, then it's probably not going to happen.
It's such an important point that you raise in the chapter on firearms. Leo, clearly you believe they have their place, and you make a very strong case for if you're going to have one, it's really essential that you have proper training and that you keep that training up to date and revisit it regularly. But if you have a weapon but aren't fully committed to using it, not only is the weapon useless to you, it potentially becomes a weapon that can be taken into the hands of the person attacking you, isn't it?
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, I'm a very big advocate of firearm ownership, but the thing is, people, when they go for training and they do the competency process, which allows them to own their firearm, that process, the competency, the name competency or the word competency shouldn't be there. It must just be compliance, because you are compliant with the law, therefore you can apply for the license. When you get the license, you are not competent yet, unlikely. Not from one session with a trainer or shooting range session and things like that. Competence comes over a period of time where you need to be placed under stress, because everything that you do changes dramatically when you are being placed under stress, and where adrenaline is pumping and all the byproducts is there. Then your normal operation with any device, whether it's a firearm, pepper spray or anything, just changes dramatically. So you need to have really a good muscle memory build-up to use that firearm or that self-defense tool that you've got.
Leo writes quite extensively in the chapter on firearms. I'm not going to go into all the detail now, but just to say there's also a very clear explanation of the circumstances under which you may and may not use a firearm in self-defense under the current laws in South Africa. Mm. Of course, we know those are under review, but if you have an interest in that, I'll just point you to the relevant chapter in the book. Several people are sending questions about home security, Leo. Let me just share one or two with them. They actually, interestingly, come down to lighting, both of these. One is it good to light up your house yard with floodlights at night? And secondly, do you think a house alarm should have an external LED indicator that indicates that the alarm is on or off?
Now, I think, lights is a very good thing. If you are going to fit your premises with lights, it needs to shine from your house towards to the outside. Then put them on the perimeter, shining into the house. Because if you want to look out and observe from the house outside, you won't be able to see. You're going to be blinded.
Yeah.
LEDs which is activated by the alarm system. I think a lot of companies already make use of that, so that there's an indicator, a visual light indicator that the alarm is on. So that can be useful as a deterrent, because sometimes how it goes these days, the neighbors, the alarm goes off, nobody even peeks it out the window anymore for his neighbor's alarm that goes off. So I think an additional light system just to warn the people inside, the people or the perpetrators that the alarm has gone off, there's nothing detrimental about it anyway.
Okay, thanks for that. We've got a caller on the line who wants to raise a very important point. Leo, please listen in. Jenny and Constantia, thank you so much for calling in. Welcome.
Hi, Pippa, thank you. Okay, so I just wanted to say I was held up in the parking area of the school grounds of a primary school in Guguletu by a guy with one with a gun and one with a knife. And I was the last adult in the parking area. All the others had left. They stole my bag, which had all my keys and obviously my car keys and everything in it. And I had done weeks and weeks of self-defense training. And I was in such disbelief, and I was so stunned by the audacity that I didn't do a single thing until they sauntered out of the school grounds. And then obviously I woke up and I started chasing them, and the headmaster told me to stop running.
Yeah.
And when the police eventually arrived, they said it was a blessing, because he said they were well-known drug users in the area and that they wouldn't have thought twice about using their weapons on me. So I think it's you have to be sensible about losing your temper or thinking that one person can take on two people, for example. So that was a lesson for me. The other thing was that when we taught the principles of self-defense to the pupils at my school, the one thing that I remember that stood a lot of people in good stead is to teach a child that if somebody is trying to take them away from where their parents are or from a public area where they're grabbed and dragged, the best thing to teach them to do is to throw themselves on the ground, spread their arms and legs, and just lie there and scream. Because apparently it's very difficult to drag a child or person when they're lying on the ground.
Yo, Jenny, I'm so sorry you had that experience, but those are two very, very valuable points you've raised there. Thank you for calling through. Leo, do you want to respond first to Jenny's comments about the sort of the freezing that happened? In her case, it was probably a very good thing that she did freeze. That's a very common response, isn't it?
Yeah, look, one hopes you don't freeze because you don't know what to do. The other thing is to freeze and not as part of being a decision that you've made. Mm-hmm. Because not reacting to the violent encounter like that is a predetermined response. She mentioned that you need to be sensible. You need to make a decision. Are you going to fight? It's not always the case that you are going to be able to fight them off and be the literally the John Wick out there. But, you know, that freezing moment that she experienced was probably a realization because of the training that she's not going to be able to overpower both of them because she is in a very compromised position. Mm. So that, I don't think it was a situation where she froze because she didn't know what to do. She froze and didn't do anything because it was a predetermined realization that if she's going to do silly things, then she might be, ending up very, very badly.
Mm.
So sometimes you need to, there's a saying, run away to fight another day. You need to be sensible, and that's all part of the decision-making, the what-if game, the pre-visualization. If there's 10 guys in front of you with AK-47s, let them take what they want.
Yeah.
Don't do stupid things. On the other point is, with a child that needs to be, or that's possibly abducted, making and teaching that child to make a noise and scream top of the lungs is absolutely correct. They need to draw attention. The good old fleur moor is almost coming into play here. But drawing attraction, because that's one of the big things. When a criminal goes into action, he goes through a couple of stages, and one of the questions that he asks himself is, the first question is, do you want or do you have what I want? If you can answer yes, then he will ask himself the second question, which is, can I get what I want from you without being injured, killed, identified, or exposed, which is drawing attention. So if unnecessary and undue attention are being drawn to them, they feel like their cover has been blown, and most probably then they might move away, especially in a public place.
We have to leave it there, I'm afraid, due to time constraints. Leo, thank you so much for giving us such a big chunk of your time this afternoon. It really has been valuable input. And I'm going to leave listeners just with a tip that there's a lot more on talking to your kids about crime and having family strategies for dealing with crime that are worth looking up in this book. Leo, real pleasure to have you with us on the show today.
It's a big pleasure.
Thank you so much, and please keep well. Leo Prinsloo, the author of Leo's Guide to Not Becoming a Statistic, How to Prevent Crime and What to Do in a Situation. You will find it in stores now, retailing at around about 265 Rand a copy.